Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. Today I'm joined by the great and good of Scottish football from the Scottish Football Marketing Podcast. I've got Michael Bockel and Chris Sampson. Also delighted to welcome back former Motherwell media man Lewis Irons for his second appearance in the podcast. Guys, how's it going?
Good. Good.
Trying to adjust to this new sense of normality, but glad to be returning to the podcast.
Yeah, it's certainly good to have you, mate. And we'll talk a bit about Motherwell a wee bit further down the line, but we'll start by guessing the glaringly obvious and life without football. Michael, how is that for you just now?
Weird. I've watched a fair bit of old footage and I found myself in the evenings spending a lot of time playing Football Manager with old matches on YouTube, and it's quite a weird time because, I mean, at the moment in time we should know that we had qualified for Euro 2020, who's in the Scottish Cup final, getting to the business end of the football season. So, yeah, it's a bit weird and taking a bit of adjusting.
Yeah, it certainly is. Lewis, I think the toughest time is that Saturday afternoon. We're approaching 3 o'clock and reality hits home that there is no football. I know people have been turning to the Belarusian leagues and such like, but personally, it's not really doing very much for me.
No, I'm with you there. I would much rather see Scottish football come back, but we know that it's for the greater good, isn't it? Whose health and well-being are coming first, and rightly so. But then you get creative, don't you? I've not quite with the Belarusian football, but you know, you're watching live FIFA broadcasts between players and stuff, and even that's entertaining because it's football you've never seen before. So it's good. I like watching the old games, but there's something not fulfilling when you know the result, isn't there? That just doesn't quite fill that void. So I guess we have to try and get creative sometimes with it.
Yeah, I must confess, I've kind of lost my way with the old matches. I think, as you say, the fact that you know the result doesn't really help, but there's only so much kind of nostalgia you can have before you're just desperate to get back to the reality and the here and now. Maybe that I'll snap out of that if we get a date further down the line and we know we're going to have that extended period of no action. But certainly, just now, I'm kind of struggling. That being said, that there's still plenty of drama going on in Scottish football.
Oh, there definitely is. I think that's been the thing that I've probably most been following, to be honest, rather than any of the old matches that have been going on YouTube or being streamed or any of the Belarusian league, as you've said. But yeah, Scottish football wouldn't be Scottish football without having plenty of drama, without even matches happening, would it?
Yeah, it's never dull, is it? What is your take on this being?
I think, again, I was on another podcast the other week, the Pure Football one, that I'm on quite regularly, and one of the things that we discussed was where do you even start with it? Because obviously we've had plenty going on in terms of the votes, we've had plenty going on in terms of league reconstruction chat, we've had plenty going on in terms of does the league get stopped? In terms of, obviously, we've had the vote happen about the lower leagues being stopped and as they are, but then that's not happened with the Premiership yet. So I don't even know where you start, and we could probably fill the rest of this day, to be honest with you, talking about it.
Yeah, I think that's very fair. Let's look at some of the things that Scottish football clubs are doing during the lockdown. And I'll start with yourself, Chris, in terms of the big news coming out this week was the Hibs displaying the NHS logo on the front of their jerseys come the start of the 2020-2021 season. It's clearly a massive gesture. Last season, they went with the Hibs Foundation. They've shown their support for the NHS in the forthcoming season. It's a great bit of PR for the club. Let's not get away from that. But it's clearly a fantastic gesture too.
Yeah, it's a bit of both, isn't it? It's in terms of Hibs have got their name out massively at the moment across pretty much the world, I would probably say. They got a plenty of coverage yesterday as we're recording this on Friday. No spoilers for anybody, hopefully. But they launched it and got plenty of coverage. I saw it shared widely, obviously, across Twitter, and then it kind of reached various kind of news outlets as well. And it's great to see Hibs getting that kind of reach for something that's announced. Obviously, at the moment, there's not much else going on in terms of matches that are happening. So it was really good to see kind of Scottish football getting discussed in a good light, as opposed to obviously over the last couple of weeks where it was a little bit more of a farce, if you like, in terms of all the votes and stuff. So yeah, from that sense of things on a marketing side, as I was looking at it, it's great to see that.
Michael, it's really refreshing to see in times where clubs are fighting for their survival, they're really stepping up to the plate and taking their place as that beacon of a community, which so many are. The football ground, the football stadium, the football club are the biggest part of so many communities, and many of them are taking on that responsibility, and really some impressive stuff going on.
Yeah, no, look, I think we tried to summarise a bit of it in the latest Scottish Football Marketing podcast, and we just didn't have enough time to cover everybody. I think it's great. I think we've talked about it a lot on our podcast in the past about clubs understanding what their identity is, what's their role, especially with their role within the community. And I mean, we've seen it across all levels of the game. Aberdeen, we talked about quite a lot. Their community trust is doing a lot of good work. Celtic Foundation, I know Motherwell are doing a lot of good stuff as well. And that's at the top level of the game. But as you work your way through, what Partick Thistle have been doing has been exemplary. Obviously, what's happening in terms of league positions and is a whole different ballgame. But how they've conducted themselves around the community, becoming renaming their family club until the football's back. And on top of that, all the fundraising efforts that they've been doing from a football perspective, they've been doing great. And then again, you keep going through the pyramid, you go down Stennis Muirs doing some great stuff in the community. You've got my local team, Nairn County, doing great stuff, Cumbernauld Colts. You know, it is great, and I think it's helping all those individuals as well. I know just speaking to people in there and how grateful some people are that the club are offering this service. So, you know, you don't want it to be happening because you don't want to be in this situation, but the fact that we're in this situation and clubs are stepping up to the plate and realising just how important they are to people is great to see.
And that's also been replicated in the fact that the fans are putting their money where their mouth is as well. Many signing up for season tickets, despite the uncertainty as to how the landscape's going to be in a footballing sense next season. That shows, and I think there's been a wee bit about this where I've kind of felt a wee bit apologetic about how much I feel for football and how much I miss it, despite the fact there's so many much more important things going on in the world just now. But I think that demonstrates that for so many of us, football is really a huge part of our lives. And the fact that people are shelling out good money to support their teams in a situation where they don't really know what's going to be happening is quite telling.
No, it definitely is. And that is, it is a big focal point for a lot of people in their lives. Those games, attending the games, living, breathing what it is. And yeah, it's clubs, a lot of clubs are recognising that. And it's, as we were talking at the very start, you can't replicate the real life thing, but you have to do what you can do. And that's helping people, whether it's picking up the phone to people, helping them, distract them with content, or actually providing a service for them. I think we're going to, this is unfortunately going to be here for a little while yet, but hopefully beyond, once we get through all this, clubs have a look at themselves, and the clubs that we've mentioned already have been doing great work in the community for a long time, and so do loads of other clubs. But those that have perhaps not been doing as much but have started doing a bit more continue to realise their worth to the community and the invaluable role that they can play.
Lewis, I'm going to talk about Motherwell for the next 5-10 minutes, and in terms of the stuff that they've been doing, they've got an initiative to try and fill the stadium just now. They've had players and staff calling elderly season ticket holders just to check up on them, see if we can do anything for them. Then this week there's also been the homework initiative, where done some clever things to try and keep the kids amused, and something I'll certainly be trying to take advantage of as well. It's something that must put a smile on your face and kind of take you back a wee bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not surprising either, is it? We know just how creative and good Motherwell are when it comes to all that side of things. All I will say, Andy, is don't make homeschooling purely a colouring project. Come on, get a bit more creative than that. But no, I think
there was maths yesterday, Lewis. There was maths.
Oh, there we go. Good, good. Glad to hear. But when we see the incredible stuff that all clubs are doing, it makes you proud of Scottish football. I know that there's been, I think Chris touched on it, you know, it's not been the most positive in a sort of worldwide sense. You know, when you've got people talking about the game in not so positive light, sometimes it can hurt you when you're so close to the game and you're so passionate about it. But I think, you know, there's positives and there's negatives through this, and the positives have been really pleasing to see. Motherwell have been at the heart of that. Michael Bockel touched on Stenhouse Muir. Thanks for the shout out to my dad's team there, Bockel. That was good of you. But I think it's Motherwell have always been kind of leading with that, I think, and I'm proud of the club that I support. I think I'm not surprised either. The creative colouring stuff's really good, and it's a way of filling the void for young kids. But also, you see that all ages of the supporter base really supporting the club with the amount of season tickets that have been sold, you know, completely trumping the numbers in previous seasons. And to do that at a time like this speaks volumes about the presence Motherwell has in that community, which is what it's all about, what we've been touching on there. So, yeah, great to see.
Lewis, you just touched on it there in terms of you weren't surprised, and I think that's probably the main thing when you're talking about Motherwell, just because all of this, obviously with everything going on at the moment, like there's nothing happening on the pitch, but off the pitch they've obviously been so good and so positive over the last wee while that can just continue. And I think that's probably the power of what's happened before that it's kind of almost a business as usual, if you like, in this weird situation for Motherwell.
Exactly. I think, you know, so many clubs are going to be struggling. I think when Premier League clubs in England are struggling, even financially, that paints a story for world football, you know. So clubs up here are going to be struggling. It is tough times, dark times for many clubs at all levels. But it's a great example to see that, you know, fan ownership and the support that Motherwell have in their community is making this period more bearable, more manageable for the long-term future of the club. And it is. It's those foundations that were laid before this that I think are now starting to show their strengths.
I think it's a humanitarian thing as well. In terms of, I saw a really kind of harrowing tweet from a Celtic supporter last night who is clearly experiencing really, really difficult times in his life. And Alan Burrows was on to him saying, I've sent you a message. The club work with charities that can help, and we can find you support. And things like that, it's just, it's a social awareness that, for me, is unparalleled in football. That wasn't an exercise to make himself look good or anything else. It came from a genuine place. And I just think that the club seemed to get it. And I think that's a really special thing.
Yeah, I think that stems from him as well, Andy. You know, I think I was lucky enough to work with him for 3 years or so, and it all comes from, you know, the top levels of the club down. And I think everyone buys into it. You can't go into that club and be a bit half-arsed, pardon my French there. But, you know, you have to go in and you have to buy into the process, the work ethic, the drive, that everyone's on the same page. And it's not for anything other than the good of the club. You know, like you say, it's not a PR stunt or an exercise there. It's genuine. And if you are, you know, all pulling in the same direction and have a genuine core of a club like that, the PR will come with it. You know, you don't need to try as hard to make the club look good when there is a lot of good going on.
I'm currently being joined by a fourth guest. There's a wasp kind of swirling about above my head, which is quite precarious. But, Lewis, you moved on to the SFA in February of last year. Possibly surprises you that it's been over a year. I would imagine it's been quite a whirlwind for you. And I would say probably the biggest compliment that I could pay you is how complimentary everyone was at the club on your departure. And I'm pretty sure that wasn't just because you were leaving, to be honest. But what time you had at Motherwell, cup finals, and so many positive stories on and off the park. How would you reflect on your time at Motherwell?
huge. It was an incredible part of my life. And as a result, I wasn't a Motherwell fan before I started. So it sums up how much I care about the club because of being involved in that environment, getting so close to the people at the heart of it, that I'll be a Motherwell follower for the rest of my life because of it. You know, it's an incredible place to work, to learn, to develop. And I think it was, you know, credit to the immense work that goes on at Motherwell that I was able to make a step, drove me to succeed, drove me to do well, and then I got the opportunity, which I did, but I left with a really heavy heart, as I said, and the club will hold a place with me forever, but real opportunity at Scottish FA, and it's great to be a part of it, and working with guys like Michael Bockel and so many others that think it's an interesting setup at the Scottish FA in comparison. You know, we're dealing with bigger issues, bigger teams of people, so there's a lot of really good work going on in there that I'm sure we can really push forward in the next couple of years or so.
Pretty sure you must be able to hear this, Wasp. Now it's getting closer and closer, which is is increasingly worrying. This is obviously, as you mentioned, a new dawn for you, a new opportunity. And you come in at an exciting time for the national side. Steve Clark was appointed a couple of months after you joined your role. And there's plenty to look forward to when it all returns. I know that it's been frustrating not getting these playoffs and not knowing whether we'll be part of the Euros next summer. But it's all up for grabs. And this is the closest the national team have been to a major competition in quite some time.
Yeah, and Michael Bockel, you can chip in here, but before this all happened, it was great sitting down and trying to, you know, brainstorm and plug brains together to think about all the opportunities that could be on the horizon. It was exciting. You know, we let maybe the excitement drive that we went. You know, we could have kept going and going with the ideas and the opportunities that we thought were on the horizon, but I guess that kind of makes it all the more frustrating that football shut down. But it is exciting, isn't it, Bockel?
Yeah, no, look, we, as Lewis said, I think we ended up with a full content plan from build up for squad announcement to the playoffs. If you ask Lewis or anybody in the office, I was absolutely 100% convinced we were qualifying. So I had it all planned out in terms of the night we qualified, the Friday after we qualified, and going into squad announcements for a major tournament and the tournament itself. And yeah, look, it's a unique position. There's never been, and it's funny when we talk about internally. I mean, somebody said to me at one point, I think it was ahead when we were going into qualification for the last campaign, they went, you know, there's never been a digital manager or a social media team at a men's Scotland major tournament appearance. And I was like, you're right. I mean, you look at, Jack and my team, a couple of people from my team went out to Holland for Euro 2017 for the women, and that was the first time social media and digital for a major tournament for a Scotland senior team had happened. So, yeah, no, look, I think there was a lot of excitement, and there's a lot of excitement in terms of around the squad and the women's team. I think the women qualifying for the World Cup showed just how big a deal things can be, and it was great for the women to raise the profile of the women's game. But you just knew if Scotland could make Euro 2020, just how big that would be. And I still think, well, funny enough, it's still going to be called Euro 2020, so we could still make Euro 2020 in 2021. It's just going to be a case of when these games happen, and hopefully we've got all our players fit. And again, just taking the positives from it, got to look at John McGinn will be fit now. No injury doubts over Scott McTominay and Abarius Evers. So, yeah, no, hopefully when we get our chance, we'll take it.
Yeah, absolutely. And just a final one on Motherwell, Lewis.
Yep.
You're still involved in terms of doing the match day commentary on many occasions.
Yeah.
This season has been very, very successful. As I say, it's a shame that we've not been able to play it to conclusion, but to finish in third spot, as it seems to be the case just now, an incredible achievement from Stephen Robinson for a side that operate with quite a limited budget and possibly expected to be struggling down the bottom end of the table. The start they made to the season really propelled them towards Europe, and they managed to sustain that. And we're beginning to find their feet again prior to the football being interrupted.
Yeah. Absolutely, and I think you touched on the budget there. I don't think anyone at the club, whether that be Alan Burrows, Stephen Robinson, the manager, anyone would begrudge me saying that the budget has easily got to be one of the lowest in the league, down there towards the bottom of the pile, if you were to make it respective of budgets. We shouldn't really be anywhere near where we are at the minute as a club. Motherwell are just, as a supporter, it's great to watch at the minute, isn't it, Andy? It's a joy. It's attractive football, young players, and the credit that has been, you know, it's been years in the making, this, since Stephen Robinson came in. Obviously, when I was there, it was great to watch Motherwell get to two cup finals and be a part of that. But while the results were there, I think there were still some critics about the style of play, wasn't there, Andy? There was people calling it hoofball. There was some fans that maybe weren't quite enjoying it as much as the results were positive. It wasn't the most attractive. So he's gradually got himself to a place now with the right players, the right personnel. He recruited excellently. I think Martin Foyle and Ross Clarkson, the analyst and the head of recruitment there, just do a tremendous job. So it's an exciting time for Motherwell, and it makes it all the more frustrating that football isn't currently still going on when it's that good to watch. But it's testament to the job it's done. And then I don't think it's any coincidence that when you see stories about Michael O'Neill departing the Northern Ireland job, that you see naturally some Motherwell fans perhaps getting a little bit concerned that there might be a call coming in. But that's testament to Stephen Robinson and the work he's done. And I wouldn't ever speculate on the future of him as a manager of the club and disrespect the club in any way. But it just shows you the calibre of work he's done, that when jobs are available, people think, oh no, we might lose him here.
Yeah, and all I would say is Ian Barraclough's a very talented manager and certainly should get the job ahead of Stephen Robinson, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah,
another positive, I guess, is if we're going to have to wait a year for the Euros, then that's an extra year for David Turnbull to continue to turn it on and force his way into the reckoning. How impressed have you been by David Turnbull, who has been an incredible success story? Obviously, a real twist in the tale during the summer, and his road to recovery was well documented, but having him back in a Motherwell jersey just now is a real buzz for everyone.
Yeah, on and off the pitch, Davey's a great lad. I'm fortunate that I got to work with him at Motherwell, and then that coincided with his tremendous form when I moved to Scottish FA. I was then working with him and close with him again at the under-21s when he was involved heavily there, and he's just a great lad to be around. The whole youth set up at Motherwell was excellent, and some great lads there. Alan Campbell just epitomises it for me. I know Turnbull gets a lot of the headlines because of his ability and his form, but Alan Campbell's attitude and work rate and desire is just a joy to watch. So I think there's a lot to be excited about in that front, but particularly David Turnbull. I'm sure the guys will chip in here as Scotland fans will all be thrilled to see what the future could hold for him. It was devastating to see the way it happened for him, but it could be hopefully a blessing in disguise in the long run if Motherwell get some more good form out of him, and then he can do something good in a Scotland jersey down the line.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think you look at the amount of times you've heard, oh, Scotland are just not producing players like they used to. And, you know, you're looking at that, especially in the midfield area where you've got established players like John McGinn, Callum McGregor, Scott McTominay, Kenny McLean, Ryan Jack. You've got so many in there already. And then on top of that, you've got David Turnbull, you've got Billy Gilmore, you've got Alan Campbell coming through, who's got so many caps in the 21s already. And you go, I'll tell you what, there is some exciting talent coming through. And yeah, look, David, as a neutral point of view from the outside, and seeing David burst onto the scene and what he did before he had to go for his operation was phenomenal. And you know, you hope he picks that back up when football comes back, and no doubt he'll be destined to be a star in Scotland player in the not so distant future, I believe.
Yeah, I'll never forget as well early doors of my time at Motherwell. Paul Burns in the academy at Motherwell, who kind of heads it all up, was saying to me, this was years ago when David Turnbull was playing in the under-20s at the time. You know, we'll have failed as coaches if that boy doesn't make it, because the talent he had from a young age was just evident. And I think Paul watched him from a very young age all the way through his time at Motherwell, and I was lucky enough to see him kind of under-20s level where he was running riot at times with his ability. And then it was no surprise when he transitioned it to the first team. I think the big thing that people were concerned about initially was his pace. Was he going to get up to the frantic pace of first team football? because when you watch him, he doesn't look that quick, but he's got an incredible ability to make the game go to his pace, where he just glides past people. He's so elegant on the ball, and I think that's a sign of a truly good player. You don't need to look that quick on the ball, but if you've got that ability, you can dictate games, and he certainly does that.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned Alan Campbell as well, because I think while his dedication to the game is always well documented, I think it sometimes bypasses people how much ability Alan Campbell's got as a footballer. He's a very, very good footballer, and he's adding bits to his game on a weekly basis. So another one that to look forward to. The future looks very bright at Firth Park. We'll talk about you guys' podcast, Chris and Michael. You've had your pick of the guests across the game, and even down south recently as well. What stemmed the idea for the podcast? Chris, I'll ask you that question, given that you've had to sit things out for quite a few while.
I was just dreaming of us qualifying for the Euros with Davy Turnbull and Billy Gilmore in centre midfield there. But but yeah, I think the podcast kind of stemmed from a couple of things, really. So a good few years ago now, when I first met Michael at Hampden, it was at one of the old annual conventions that used to happen. And I was lucky enough to be on a panel that day, just talking about the marketing of football in Scotland and what everybody was doing. And Michael and I met, and we just kind of kept in touch from there. I think we were going to... we discussed it back and forward quite a bit anyway, but we were wanting to start a podcast to try and help clubs at all levels of the game in Scotland really better themselves off the pitch in terms of what they're doing in their marketing. We were lucky enough that I think Michael, oh, let me say this at the time, but with Greg Mailer, who was at the Scottish FA at the time too, he turned around to Michael and said, well, why don't you make it an official Scottish FA podcast? And it just kind of stemmed from there. I think it was something that we both wanted to do. And it's just great for me personally to be able to be involved in something official with the Scottish FA.
Michael, there's accusations that we can all be a bit down in the game. The thing about your podcast is you very much extenuate the positive things that are going on. And I think it's fair to say just now there's a raft of really good quality Scottish football content out there. People are really getting into the mindset of talking up the game. I think of things like A View from the Terrace and stuff like that. It's just a breath of fresh air and a time where the negative voices tended to be the ones that were more prominent.
Yeah, no, I echo that in terms of just how much great content there is. And I'd been doing some research for work and just looking at podcasts alone. And I ended up tweeting a whole thread about podcasts that are from a generic point of view. And that wasn't even club podcasts, because there's just so much people that are passionate about Scottish football, and it's great. And I think it's easy to knock anything really in life and look at the negatives of it. But look, Scottish football's not perfect. I think everybody will admit that. And there's nothing like somebody from south of the border or elsewhere having an opinion about how crap Scottish football is for everybody to join together and support that. I think if you remember Aberdeen playing Burnley in the Europa League qualifiers a couple of seasons ago, like everybody getting behind Aberdeen. And it's great to see it. And yeah, look, there's so many people, as I said, that are passionate but also talented. And are willing to give up time. And this is the thing that we need to remember is everybody or a lot of people that are doing this are doing it for free. They're doing it for just the love of the game. And Chris comes in after work to record the Scottish Football Marketing podcast. And Ailsa stays, who's in my team, my video person, who stay after to work hours to do this. And yeah, I think it's great to see, and Scottish football is, as Chris said at the very start, an exciting and unpredictable at times, and there's always a discussion point. But yeah, there's some seriously talented people out there creating great content.
And Chris, this is maybe a time where the media landscape is going to change quite drastically. It's somewhat reassuring, though, that there's such a number of people continuing to produce content. We know that the newspaper industry is looking a bit precarious, but the way that we consume our media has changed so much over the years, it doesn't seem like it will be the death knell for good quality Scottish football content.
No, I don't. I definitely don't see it being a death sentence for any quality Scottish football content. I think that will always continue. Like Michael said, there's a lot of it out there already, and sometimes it's actually difficult to consume it all, or difficult to really hone in on something that you actually like, because you maybe feel like you want to try and consume it all, and it's actually, well, it's almost impossible to, because there is so much of it, and so much of it is very good. I think it's a tricky one. It's a tricky one for me, because I newspapers are so important still in Scottish football. It's difficult. I've said this a few times, that it's difficult to forget, or difficult to remember sometimes, that Scottish football doesn't just exist on Twitter, just because a lot of us spend a lot of our time there discussing it back and forward. But I think the newspapers probably won't disappear anytime soon. I know that it's a struggle at the moment, and things are really tough, but they'll still exist, and they'll still exist alongside everything that's happening. But if I just speak personally, like I think I don't think I've ever bought a newspaper, to be quite honest with you. I'm not old by any stretch, but I'm not young either, and I don't think I've ever felt the need to buy a newspaper, because I don't really feel like I need to buy one. I get my news elsewhere, and I know that's can be quite bad sometimes, because you do want to support industries, but you've got things like Nutmeg, for example. I know you guys probably all read it, and are probably all subscribers as well, but that's something that I feel like I want to support, because it's just so good, such quality writing, and delivered on a kind of regularity that I can keep up with and feel like I'm supporting something that is of genuine quality as well.
Yeah, I think that's very fair, and it's been interesting to see the likes of Nutmeg, and When Saturday Comes as well, using the Patreon platform to kind of expand their reach to people, and also keep themselves ticking over, because it would be a travesty, as far as I'm concerned, to have what has become staple diets of the game and really, really high quality publications just disappear due to circumstances. So hopefully people do get behind that, and we continue to see them being produced with the same regularity. I'll talk a wee bit about life at the SFA, and Lewis, I guess that first and foremost, it's slightly bigger than Fir Park on a daily basis.
Yeah, it's certainly bigger, that's for sure. Our office space at Fir Park was a small place that a lot of big work happened, but it was probably, I think Michael can testify to, sitting across from me in at Hampden, that he probably saw me baffled and sort of struggling to take in the size of it, in terms of the office space is great, but actually the people that work there are so many good people in there as well. Particularly in our area, isn't there, Michael? We've got a lot of good work in there, and I think it took me a little while to settle in. I think I came in wearing a proper full-on suit on my first day, only to realise it wasn't actually quite as formal as that, and other guys were sitting a bit more casual, and I've gradually fit into the process. But it's grander, there's a lot of work going on, and still to be done. I think, as we touched on, we've got a lot of creative ideas for hopefully when the day comes to Scotland, start to really get back on the national scene tournaments. It's a great place to work, and I guess the main thing is that you're able to get the most out of it. I think keeps you going every day, doesn't
And Michael, you'll have to wear various caps, I suppose, in terms of the men's national side, women's football, the youth teams, the Scottish Cup. That sounds like you're kind of spinning a number of plates there.
Yeah, I think that was probably one thing that I wasn't fully aware of, and I know when I speak to various people about my job, because obviously very privileged and fortunate to be able to work in football on a daily basis, and so happy to talk about it when people ask. And yeah, the sheer size and scale of what you're doing, it's not just about the national team or teams. It's not, you've got Scottish Cup on there, you've got grassroots football, you've got the whole performance structure, you've got the governance of the game, you've got child well-being. There's just so many different assets, and then you put on top clubs and club services, and yeah, people look at the Scottish FA sometimes and maybe go, and this is very much the case compared to clubs, and I'm always wary of saying how stretched we are in that, because clubs are working at a lot smaller basis, but we are covering so much. We might not have a game every Saturday, but we've got so much, and you get pulled in loads of different directions, and it's easy to just to get caught on a treadmill, and yeah, it's easy to share frustrations with fans and look at how things are going. But as Lewis said, look, there is a lot of good people within the organisation striving to make Scottish football better. And you're right, I have to change my hat on a hourly basis, let alone a daily basis, in terms of being pulled into different things. But people are working hard to make a difference, to be innovative, to look at ways of how we improve the game as a whole. And hopefully people see that and not just the headlines about a decision that's gone against the team or a decision that's been made at a different level, where there is things happening throughout that organisation that, as I keep saying, that people really do want to make a difference.
And as we move towards wrapping up this podcast, a question that I've been asking the majority of the guests this week is, what are we looking forward to most in a football sense when this all dies down and things are kind of returning to normal? For me, the thought of the teams coming out at 3 o'clock on a Saturday, I think that first game back is going to be something really quite emotional. We've talked about the first game of the season and that release when you've had a couple of months off. But this will be so different. I feel that the crowds will be up, the enthusiasm will be at an all-time high. I just think it's going to be so magic. Is there anything else that kind of stands out that you're really looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to not having to do any more quizzes for a while. I share in terms of just that feeling of going into a ground. And as you said, I fully anticipate people will be eager to get back to football at all levels. And it's just being able to go and have that day with your friends or by yourself and get to the football and just share that experience and see that first goal go in and not for a little while take football for granted. Not that anybody really does, but hopefully, and this is probably more wishful thinking than anything, is that some of the trivial matters that happen within football are not as become as big a deal as we realise that it's good to have the game back.
I think just following on from Bocco's point there, I think it's a great point to make. I think while this has opened up a lot of people's eyes, I think there'll be some people that maybe appreciate things or look at things in a different light. You also made a good point, Andy, about the crowds being up, the passion being there. I think I share your thoughts there, because I'm thinking about that first moment when I could make that trip out to Park or wherever it is I go for a game at the weekend, and the excitement is just going to be incredible. I can't wait for it. But I think Bob's point there was great, because you know, one of the things I've noticed starting at the Scottish FA is that there is a lot of people that maybe don't understand the way that things work in football, maybe not appreciate where the lay of the land in some parts as well. And I think that maybe now people will realise maybe a red card that gets upheld one weekend isn't exactly a big deal or is worth shouting about as much as it used to be, because in the grand scheme of things, it's not going to make a huge difference. But that may be perhaps, but it all comes to the passion of the game, doesn't it? Fans are passionate, voice their opinions in different ways, but hopefully some good can come from this. I think that's the only way we can make this some sort of good from it is to learn from it, to develop from it. Hopefully we'll come out the other side better for it.
Yeah, there's loads of wishful thinking in terms of fans getting to, even more fans getting to games. Yeah, the leagues being different, obviously, is something that potentially we could be looking forward to. I think just on the flip side, everybody's kind of looking forward to getting back to games, but how much is everybody looking forward to getting that first boo underway? Like that's good. That first boo is going to be incredible. I've really missed booing. obviously I get to do a lot of it when I go to Capello for Morton games, but yeah, I think it'll be incredible, the sound of that first boo.
that's the backdrop to what's at Mirren play on a weekly basis. I don't think I've ever seen a fan base that are capable of booing as much as the St Mirren fans, to be perfectly honest. So do you guys try to kind of outrival each other in the booing stakes, eh?
Oh yeah, well, I mean, Morton and St Mirren must be the two most booiest teams going, I think. So
never had a quote for this podcast, Andy. I think you've just got it.
The booiest is one that I'm going to need to start adopting. And just finally, the run of 14 podcasts in 14 days has been in support of the Scottish Association for Mental Health. It's a difficult time for so many of us. Open enough to admit that I've had some good days during this. I've had some more difficult days as well. The uncertainty of it all and how depressing it can be to turn on the telly or scroll through social media and see all that's going on and the reality hits home, it can be very difficult to keep positive. There is a lot of people struggling. And what I've been asking is there ways that you guys are getting through your days, maybe wee kind of tips and hints that just help make it that wee bit easier?
Yeah, I think structure is a big one. I know a lot of people talk about that and maybe some people underestimate it, but having some sort of structure in your day is massive. I know me and Michael are obviously still working away at the minute, so we do have, you know, still a fairly structured day with things that we have to do. We've got, you know, I'll be up. I'm still trying to get up nice and early. I'm earlier than I probably did in the past. I'm probably getting up before 7 o'clock these days. I just think if I get up earlier and try and make the day seem a bit more positive from an early onset, that will pass a bit quicker, keep you positive. I've been doing a couple of podcasts myself on a coaching front with various names across Scottish football. Russell Martin was doing it recently. I spoke to him about what he's been doing. Craig Sampson, I was speaking to him yesterday, former Motherwell goalkeeper, of course, and they're really honest as well about it. It is challenging for everybody, from people in all sorts of parts of the game and football that speak of the importance of it. And I think trying to keep that in your life, try to get out for one bit of exercise a day, follow the guidelines, of course, but eat a little bit healthier and stuff like that, just keeps your mindset a bit more positive, I think. And it is challenging, but one that you have to kind of be diligent with, I think, to get through it.
Yeah, I just echo the structure bit. There's a bit of a mixed situation in my household where I'm working and my partner's not. And for me, it is, believe it or not, that Stephanie always laughs at me, but I put my trainers on and stuff like that. Admittedly, I've not worn jeans in about 3 weeks, but I'll put my trainers on to go and sit at my desk to do work. And for me, I'll do the work during the day, try and get breaks, obviously try to get outside and just try and switch off. I've actually, I came back on it recently, but I had a period where I wasn't really on Twitter, which I think is great. I love Twitter, but sometimes you just need a break from it. I think you can get too caught up with it. It can be, for all the good it is, there's just negative in there as well, and it's just taking time off it. And then in the evenings, it's Football Manager. There's no word of a lie has got me through the last few weeks in terms of it's just my couple of hours at the end of the night where I just switch off. And it's just Stephanie's gone to bed and it's just me. I'll just play that, put some nonsense on, like as I said, one of the old games on YouTube, not really watching it on the TV, but just as background football noise and just playing and taking my mind off things. And yeah, look, it's a bit monotonous, and I've had days where I've struggled a wee bit, but it's, me and you, Andy, were talking before this about, because there's not a fixed date, it makes things difficult, because you don't have that to look forward to. And as I said, I was meant to be meeting up with boys from school up in the Spey Valley today, and you look at that, go look at the weather outside, and you're inside, but and got to be grateful for the health and just finding those little things. And you don't have to come out of this lockdown having achieved great things, learning new languages. But if you are somebody that's furloughed, or in the case of Stephanie, my partner, she's a couple of little projects here and there are keeping her ticking over, whether it's arty things or doing creative things, which she likes. So, yeah, that would probably be my couple of things.
I think similar to Lewis and Michael, I'm still lucky enough to be working at the moment too. But even then, if I wasn't, I think structure to the day is probably the most important thing for me. I think I'm kind of doing 9 to 5, but making sure that I'm taking that lunch break and stepping away from the computer as well. Like, I think that's an important thing to do on a regular basis, probably hopefully every day. And then kind of when you finish, I'm making sure that I'm either out for that one bit of exercise, which is either a walk or a decent length of run, or even just going to the park and doing like a one of the hip exercises. Like, obviously this week's been very nice. I've been out a couple of nights this week just up to Inverleith Park and doing a hip exercise, and I think that's been definitely beneficial, especially with the weather being nice as well. You get a bit of extra time outside to just enjoy it too, and I think that's been key, especially now living in a flat as well, where I don't have a garden, so it's tricky. It's been a tricky couple of weeks while the weather has been quite nice. So just getting out and about really and doing what you can do in this time, I think, has been so important. And my final one as well has probably been cooking, making sure that you're actually making some decent meals rather than eating junk during the day or snacking or anything like that. I think that's been an important thing for me too.
And I'm sure, Balco, you'll agree with me, the weekends would definitely be a little bit easier if we were allowed to golf, wouldn't it?
Oh, 100%. I tell you what, I think the three of us all live in flats, and yeah, even just being able to do something in the back garden with a ball of any size or kind would be handy.
Yeah, it would. Yeah,
I managed to acquire a half a dozen stress balls from work, and I've been kind of sorting out all sorts of games against the walls and things like that. The plasterboard has taken a bit of a button, but I'll sort that when things go back to normal. It's maybe just creating amusement for myself.
Exactly.
I also want to mention Ian Mulvey, who got in contact with me on Twitter the other week, saying that he had found a load of Waiting for the Great Leap Forward fanzines going right back to 1989, and sent me a big package today of all these fanzines, which I'm really looking forward to skimming through and looking at some of the hot takes that my old fans have had over the years. It looks like there's a hell of a lot of reading in there, and I really do appreciate that. That's something to look forward to as we head into the weekend.
Definitely.
Guys, I would like to thank you all for your time today. It's been really interesting, and I really do appreciate it. Thank you.
No problem. Pleasure.
Cheers, Andy.
You've been listening to the MFC podcast. I'll be back for the final episode of 14 tomorrow. Until then, thank you and goodbye.
Yep. Pull my covers off my lady in the night, to see the cold reaction when she realizes actions have taken, to start conversation.
They tell me hope that nearly pulls the strings the most. Clever little words from the boring little boy in the corner. We love one another. Never asked you to come here, and no one asked you to come here. You're saying words people don't wanna hear. They don't wanna hear. They don't wanna hear. So stop shouting.
A peace of mind that carries tension up the sheet. The truth can pierce a hole right through the dingy little boat you sailed in on, and the one you go down on.
What an awful way to throw away the day. Your season is colliding with the evil mass of things you're providing. No way you can hide them. No one asked you to come here. No one asked you to come here. You're saying words people don't want to hear. We don't want to hear, we don't want to hear, so stop shouting. You see the cold reaction when she realizes actions have taken. To start a conversation. To start a conversation.